This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart, going solo today on the last day of 2007. But I'm not exactly alone. The Bryant Park Project players have assembled in the studio.
News team assembled.
Because it is time for the most blogged, emailed, viewed, and commented stories on the web. It's something we call the most. All right, up first today with the most, Director Jacob doing double duty. We're going to let him go first, then he can direct the rest of the segment. What do you have, Jacob?
I've got one of the most commented on stories on Engadget, which is a pretty complicated story, but I'm going to try and make it as simple as I possibly can. The RIA has got another round of lawsuits against a music listener. This person is named Jeffrey Howell. He's in Scottsdale, Arizona, and this story was commented on a lot because the RIA says, or people think that the RIA is suing him because he's copying CDs that he legally owns.
Can you just quickly explain what the RIA is?
The RIA is the Recording Industry of America, and they represent the major labels that put out CDs, music, stuff like that. They're basically the lobbying group that has the back of the industry. But the place that this gets complicated is that in the lawsuit, the thing that they're actually suing him for is not copying the music that he owns, but copying the music onto his computer the file sharing program on his hard drive. So
he becomes inadvertently
a distributor
of this music,
exactly.
Illegally.
But the brief, which is very long, and I've tried to go through as much of it as I can, but is a little bit too long to go through in the time before our show this morning, calls the copies of the legally purchased CDs unauthorized copies, which is what's getting everybody all riled up about.
Yeah, I'm worried like that.
Putting a CD
on my computer means I'm a criminal.
Basically, what they're suggesting is that going forward from here, they may start to bring lawsuits against people for making these unauthorized copies. But it's unlikely at this point that's the real issue.
The real deal. Okay, Jacob, thank you so much. Hey, could you put some time on the clock? Yeah, I need you to multitask.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Jacob, how many hands do you have?
Slacker.
All right, up next, Pauline making her most debut.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, I have one of the most popular on Yahoo News. It's called World Outsources Pregnancies to India. That's right, there are like 50 women in Anand, India, who are pregnant with babies of parents who live in the US, UK, and Taiwan. And I guess it's called commercial surrogacy.
Wow.
And so some of these 50 women actually live in this like 24-hour clinic and are taken care of by this doctor. And guess how much they're paid to be a surrogate mother?
Is this gonna upset me how little it is?
I'm just curious like how many people think that it's worth.
$1,000.
$10,000. No, more actually.
$10,000.
Somewhere in between. $4,500. This one woman was being paid $4,500 to be pregnant.
I could do
for
that.
9 months.
Well, I'm feeling better about it. I really thought it was going to be like, here's $50 and a Snickers. I'm really happy here that these women are being paid for their 9 months of work.
Well,
labor,
apparently,
literally.
I mean, the doctor says it's a win-win situation because this is, it would take 15 years for one woman to make that amount of money in India. And so she's going to buy a house with $4,500. Another woman's getting more than $6,000. So apparently it's not a big deal. And this woman who's trying to get pregnant in LA is spending more than $20,000 trying to get pregnant. So it's like, okay, you can spend $20,000
in LA. It brings up very interesting ethical issues.
It does.
Pauline, good story. Trisha McKinney, our editor.
First, I want to give everybody a visual because I'm really not I'm not a radio professional. I have no idea how to move this microphone, so I'm hunched over. I can hardly see.
Okay. You do look a little bit like Myrtle Eternal giving
Hello
the news.
From my bunker in the studio. I'm afraid to touch this thing. All right, so I have the most viewed story at the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and it's basically kind of scary for people who cross the border into Canada all the time. You know, it used to be pretty easy. You just sort of waved hi, showed them your driver's license, and got on in. Well, apparently now they're starting to ask more questions about your background. And if you have something like a DWI in your past, you may not be allowed into Canada.
Wow.
Yeah, this tells a story of a computer guy who, you know, had two drunken driving offenses back in the 70s. And when he tried to cross into Canada, he answered a questionnaire saying, you know, mentioning these arrests, and they wouldn't let him in. So, apparently, you know,
they're not getting in, eh? turn around about.
That's right.
A boot.
A boot. So apparently, you know, they're sharing more criminal databases, and they're asking tougher questions. So if you have something in your past, you could have some trouble. There are ways to clean up your record, and there's sometimes you can pay a little money to get in just temporarily. So there are ways around it.
We should have asked the Mounties why they're cracking down.
You're right.
Caitlin.
Yes, the story I have is the most emailed from the Washington Post. It's about modern kids getting into the world of philanthropy. Quite a change from that last story about Paris Hilton and not getting her inheritance. It starts off with the story of Maddie Freed of Potomac, who asked her friends to bring money for her birthday party instead of gifts, and she raised $800 for the Children's Hospital, which is so cute. Also, Club Penguin, which if anyone out there has kids, you know it's a popular online game club for the elementary school kids. More than 2.5 million kids gave their virtual earnings to charities in a contest this month. Now, the way the site works is that you have a virtual job and you earn coins and you can furnish your penguin's igloo. So all these kids who've worked so hard to earn these coins decided instead to buy things for the igloo to donate them. They held a 10-day Coins for Change campaign ending on Christmas Eve, and they raised a ton of coins, and then in turn the company donated $100 million in real-life money to real charities.
I like hearing about the little ones, the knee biters doing the right thing. If you liked any of those stories and you want to read more about them, you can find them on our website, npr.org/Bryant Post? Bryant Park. There we go. Thanks, you guys, for helping with the most.
Yep.
I'll get it eventually.